Run Sports Show. Fort Wayne to the world. Bryce got the box score, calm on the mic. Pulling up numbers from last Friday night. Stack gyms packed, rivalries loud. He'll tell you who balled out, who hyped the crowd. DC slide in with the hold up weight. Spicy little rant, that's a hot take plate. Coach talk, Pacers talk, all in the mix. Midwest mind with that ESPN fix. Sideline Sports Show, Bryce in D.C. From the Fort Wayne courts to the big TV. Indiana Hoosiers dreams, go to go scenes. Whole Midwest running through the calling stream. Sideline Sports Show, you know that vibe. Stats and smoke in a four-quarter ride. Turn it up loud when the game day starts. They break it all down like they call in charge.
Welcome into the Sideline Sports Show. I'm Bryce Vance, and no, that is not DC Hendricks, and you should be able to tell that is Austin Huff, former. I would say we've been connected going back 2017, 18, something like that.
2018, my friend.
Yeah, Austin and I used to closely cover high school sports in Northern Indiana. He still does, as he is a high school sports editor and Notre Dame editor, part of the USA Today company, formerly Gannett. And yes. He is living up in South Bend these days. Austin, thank you so much for filling in DC for DC here on this Sunday morning.
Well, I appreciate it. Imagine hearing that intro song, which is a banger, by the way, and expecting DC and getting me instead. I just feel bad for all the viewers at home. But thank you for inviting me. I've known you for, like I said, 8 years now, most of my adult life. And I've known DC for a while, too. So I like your show. And I've always willing to help the cause here, man. So I appreciate you letting me on. I've got my tin caps. Madonna Luchadoris alternate hat on for the people today. So I've had this for years, okay, for the record. I love pro wrestling, and the Tin Caps cool little stadium there in Fort Wayne. So I had to get one for my collection.
Yeah, for sure. Austin is filling in for DC. DC is out at his son's baseball tournament. So we're here back in the studios cheering on the Flamingos from afar, and they're doing well. DC was just updating me before the show started. They are on to the semifinals. I was out there yesterday at World Baseball Academy, which is where they're playing right now. So I got to see DC's son play a little bit yesterday, and it was a pretty good game. They haven't lost since I've seen them, so they're doing good.
How's the class of 2035 looking, my friend?
they're looking pretty good. I've had my experience coaching some 14U baseball, and they're a good little team. Let's put it that way.
All right. Yeah. I look forward to talking about them, covering them in 2030, 2031. Yeah. You want to start feeling old,
I know it's crazy. We got a jam-packed show for you here today. We're going to talk some high school baseball, some high school softball, statewide. As a part of Austin's job, is he oversees the entire state of Indiana, and so he will give us a good perspective statewide on who to watch out for in case any of our local teams continue on in the postseason. Before we get any further, though, we are a part of the Get Indiana Podcast Network. Indiana.com is your destination for everything Indiana, from festivals, events, blog posts, spotlighting hidden gems, local businesses, and small towns. Discover something new about the Hoosier State, and be sure to subscribe to their weekly newsletter at the top of the page. You can also find our show on there every single week. Austin,
yeah.
Before we get into the high school baseball and high school softball of it all. You ran a 5K yesterday, and you are wearing the shirt to prove it.
If you don't wear the shirt, dude. I mean, like, I already pre-ordered the 3.1 bumper sticker. Like, I'm ready to go. I did run a 5K yesterday. First time in my life running a formal 5K. I have ran 3.1 miles before in preparation to run the formal 5K. But the big event in town in South Bend every late spring here is the Sunburst Races. And I was like, you know what? I'm getting healthier. Like, I've been going to the gym. Like, this is last year, I've been trying to be healthy, eat well, You know, hate running.
Yeah,
I still same. Don't like it, but I'm like, you know what? Let's just see. Let's just see what we can do with this. And we did it. We signed up and we ran it and ran a 2-minute best time. Like, so I don't know how or why, but I guess, you know, you got to run it in 60 degrees with no humidity, no hills. Yeah. Like, there are a lot, like running into my apartment complex, a little different than running a flat course. There's a lot of ups and downs where I live. So believe it or not, your time gets a little affected by that. And
Sure.
So it was great, though. It was fun. 6 a.m. alarm was not great, but now I understand why these runners do what they do so early, because apparently you can put up great times if you just run at 7 a.m. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was a lot of fun. And probably going to do a couple more, you know, my ball and some. There's one at the Elkhart County Fair that I used to cover for many years. I might have to make my triumphant return to the county fairgrounds in Elkhart. For the big county fair 5K, the parade run in July. So we'll see. We'll keep that on the back burner. So,
yeah, I've been, you know, from afar, I've, you know, noticed that you and you, one of your friends, my not really an acquaintance, but I know of him, Tyler Horka. You guys post on social media going to the gym and stuff like that. And you and I have a little fun talking about Tyler and his appearance sometimes. I'm glad you decided to do this. I've just previously looked at some 5Ks that we have in here. I know we have like the Fort for Fitness big one. Usually I think in September, I think is when it usually is, but it's something that's like, do I need to sign up for it and then like I have to train for it or is that what you kind of did?
It was very funny. I looked at it like months ago, like, oh, I want to do this, right? And then I didn't actually sign up technically till Thursday. So like I knew I was going to do it. I knew I was like, I'm gonna do it. And just like put off signing up for it. But on Thursday I was like, I should actually probably sign up. I didn't want to deal with all like the day of. You can sign up. Did you hear a buzz, by the way, in the background?
Yeah. So, sound like your dryer's done.
Yeah, the dryer stopped. I was trying to mute my mic in time and I didn't go. I'm sorry. I thought it was gonna be over before we started.
You're good.
So I signed up on Thursday. I just want to deal with any of the day of nonsense. Like I'm sure it would have been fine, but like if I live in town, I can take 10 minutes, took a lunch break, right? Go get my stuffs and it was cool, man. Yeah. So I will sign up hopefully more in advance other times for these other 5Ks, but you don't really have to. They just give you a bib number and you go.
Nice. And you finish it off with a nice alcoholic beverage afterwards.
Yeah, dude, libation. I had a 8 a.m. The 8 a.m. Miller Lite hits hard on two occasions, running a 5K and when your football team is playing an 11 a.m. kickoff, which Missouri did a lot when I was there, so... Those 8 a.m. Miller Lights before you go into the stadium, you know, those are nice as well.
Heck yeah. Always got to cap it off with something just to make sure it was all worth it. That's for sure.
Right.
I'm glad to have you here on the show. We'll get into some of our, we were talking before like 10, 15 minutes about our old stories back in the day. And
we don't
want to bore people with those now. We'll get to those later on.
Want to stick through this whole show, we got some lovely reminiscing moments. So,
yeah, for sure. As we get into tomorrow for high school basketball championships in the sectionals, and we were also talking before, like it feels weird that it's not going to be happening on Memorial Day, like it traditionally has, because the holiday was moved up this year on the calendar being on the 25th, and usually it's, you know, later in the month is how it came out this year.
I think the IHSAA is cognitively doing this, though. Like last year, the baseball also wasn't on Memorial Day either. So I don't know if it's the calendar or like them just being like, no, we shouldn't do it. But they're also starting softball sectionals on Memorial Day. So I don't think they care about the holiday. So maybe they'll go back to Memorial Day next year. I don't know. It would have sunk on the 29th or the 30th. But 2 years in a row, though, no Memorial Day sectional baseball championships, which just feels strange as, you know, journalists being creatures of habit. Right. You're so used to working on that day. I didn't have to work on Memorial Day. It was nice.
Yeah, it was very, very odd to, you know, I'm not covering it day to day like I used to back at KPC, and it is just, you're looking forward to, like, you'd have the Indy 500 on Sunday, and then you would, you know, the next day that you're going to be out covering a game, probably 11 a.m. or 1 p.m. or something like that. And then you can enjoy the rest of your day after you get your story done. And it was just kind of odd. But now there's going to be games played at all times tomorrow, and potentially even semifinals tomorrow for baseball, which is kind of an odd thing, because I know one championship game here locally between, I think, Carroll and Snyder is at 11. The one up at DeKalb, I think, is at 6 o'clock. And then I think another one is at like 5. So it's like it's all over the place for some of these games. And it's just odd and different than, you know, what we've been used to.
I do wonder if, like, they just, like, forgot to update the schedule to, like, a 6 p.m. game. You know what I mean? Like, oh, wait, it's not on the holiday? Like, I guess we're stuck at 11 a.m. Like, it's either that or, like, they're doing graduation that night. It's probably one of those two things. And like you said, some sites are doing the semifinals in the morning and the championship at night. The people that I oversee, there's a couple of them that are doing that tomorrow where they're, like, 10 a.m., 1 p.m., 6 p.m. So it's like the semi-state, basically, a semi-state format. Right. So.
Yeah, and that could be, you know, if whoever comes out of that sectional, you know, could have that experience, and maybe it benefits them, maybe it doesn't, but we'll have to see. Let's talk local sectionals that we have here. I mentioned the one out at DeKalb. That one is Angola, maybe surprisingly to some, but they have been really good, one of the best teams in the NECC this year. Have won 23 games going up against DeKalb, who had to go through a pretty difficult road facing rival Garrett in the first round and then walked it off against Dwenger in the semis the other day. They led 4-3 in the seventh yesterday, but had an error with two outs that allowed the Saints to score a runner from third and tie the game and push it into extras. For the matchup tomorrow between DeKalb and Angola, DeKalb beat Angola 9-6, but they played that game in late April. So things have obviously changed for both teams. Then another rematch in the Carroll one is Carroll versus Snyder. Chargers won 14-3 in 5 earlier this month. And then the other one locally that we've touched on here in the past couple of weeks on the show is Homestead and Huntington North, which should be a doozy because both those teams walked through their semifinal matchups pretty easily. I think both winning in 5 innings, so nothing. Neither team really had to expend a whole lot of energy to come out and make it their way to the final. Any of those in particular stand out to you, Austin, or anything that, you know, could you know, that you're looking forward to as we have all those games going off at different times tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the first one you mentioned, man, DeKalb Angola is. I mean, that might be the best game, one of the best games in the state tomorrow. You've got, you know, 19-4 DeKalb, 23-6 Angola. And they went through good teams in the semifinals to get there too. You know, a couple close games. You mentioned that with DeKalb and Dwenger. It's interesting, right? Like both teams had to play a quarterfinal game too, you know, or no, sorry, Angola had a bye. So, you know, does that play a factor? Like, obviously it's been 4 or 5 days since DeKalb started the tournament, so they'll be able to have most of their guys for pitching. But, you know, can Angola ride their, you know, second guy, you know, and just DeKalb throw their ace, right? So, you know, it's always an interesting dynamic with the bye, right, in the baseball because of the pitching element of it. Like, I'm sure Angola was cool with, like, not, you know, having to be, they're already in the semifinals, but, you know, and they probably had to throw their number one yesterday just because Leo's a good enough team where you can't mess around with it, basically. So does DeKalb, by having to play an extra game, actually maybe have the pitching advantage, which is kind of interesting to think about. So it should be a fun game, man. And obviously, I mean, just as an outsider's perspective, obviously not as in the Fort Wayne area, not much. Carroll and Snyder on paper just always kind of looks exciting, you know. It's like, oh, those are two big schools. But yeah, and so Homestead Huntington North too, you know, that's, it's two really good games right there. I do think Angola DeKalb will probably steal the show, though, if I were a betting man.
Yeah, if I were heading out to a game tomorrow, that's the one I would probably want to go to the most, probably followed by Homestead and Huntington North, just two 20-win teams that, you know, Huntington North was the NEA champ this year. What does Homestead and Huntington North decide to do as far as pitching? I would imagine they're probably throwing either their number one on both sides, like I said, because both of them, I think, 10-run ruled.
They're semi-final.
So they would be set up. They should be set up pretty well, and it should be, you know, you would think a low-scoring ball game in tomorrow's championship game because you're throwing both your aces out there. So
It should be great baseball across the board. I mean, I know that – you know, the Carroll Snyder, you know, kind of killed him earlier this year, but you can never postseason, man, you know, weird things happen. You just never know. I mean, we've been around the block enough to see some dumb teams make some silly runs, man. That's what makes it great. I mean, and like I said, baseball pitching matters. You know, if you got a guy who's locked in on the mound, they can shut down anybody. I mean, locally last year, Goshen beat Penn. Penn was 30-1. Like, they're going to win state. No one's beaten Penn. And then 10-13 Goshen beats him because this guy just throws sliders all day and, like, Penn couldn't do anything with it. And so it was crazy, you know. So you just never know, man. That's the beauty of the tournament. So, and it's single elimination, man. It's not like the college where you go double elimination. So it's, you know, it's do or die every game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The winner of the Homestead and Huntington North matchup will face the winner of Carroll and Snyder. In the regional,
guaranteed semi-state team. Yeah. You know what? In this job, in this line of profession, I like my guarantees, even if I don't love that it's happening. You know, like I like the fact that I know I have to work June 13th now. what I mean?
So, exactly. He always like to know what is on the docket in a couple weeks and how far into the summer you're going to have a local team going for sure. So we will have, like Austin said, somebody in the semi-state. And out of Fort Wayne or the Fort Wayne area, no matter what. So, and then I think the winner of Angola DeKalb is looking at the brackets. Really has to go face somebody in the opposing region or sectional is the Logansport sectional. So, don't know who will get out of that one and where that one will be at. But
that is, it will likely be Western or versus Western. By the way, that's West Lafayette is in that sectional. They are not super strong on the other side of that. So Western versus the Angola DeKalb Survivor will be probably the game. Where they play that, who knows? Because obviously the regional locations are still to be determined. They announced those, I believe, by Wednesday at the latest. Okay. All the games get done Monday night. I think they take Tuesday to figure it out. And then we go from there. So.
What are as you cover the state, as we mentioned, you know, or, you know, even up by you up around South Bend, what are some other sectionals that we should be paying attention to that could potentially affect the local teams around Fort Wayne eventually down the road?
Yeah. So obviously, I think the best game in this area, the South Bend area tomorrow, is actually over in Elkhart County. You got Goshen versus Concord, which, you know, say that 3 years ago, you'd be like rolling your eyes. Like, what? Goshen and Concord in baseball? But Goshen is legit. They won the NLC. They were 13-1 in the NLC. Their only loss was to Concord, who they're going to pitch the same kid they pitched against Goshen in that game. This left-handed kid, Joey Hauger, he kind of willed Concord to the semi-state a couple years ago. Goshen went to the semi-state then last year. Like, these are two teams that have deep playoff run history. It's at Goshen. Which is going to be just an awesome atmosphere. Goshen won the opening game of the sectional on a steal of home plate. And then they threw a no hitter in the semifinal against Elkhart. So they are, like, I don't know if that's a team of destiny vibe right there, but, you know, they're playing with that. And, as the former Goshen News sports editor, you know, soft spot in my heart for the Goshen Redhawks. And Concord Minutemen. Concord is definitely part of the Goshen coverage area too. So, on paper, that'll be a really good game tomorrow. I just think that's a really good game. You know, over here too, obviously Penn, everything starts and ends with Penn a lot of times in every sport. And so they play Mishawaka. That's a rivalry game, sectional championship at Mishawaka tomorrow night. That'll be a fun game. Obviously, like, the region looks good. You know, you got teams like Andrean and Valparaiso, and, you know, they're just loaded. And there is a chance for Andrean versus New Prairie in a regional game, which would be cinema, as the kids call it. And, you know, it would be a great game. Andrean's the defending champs. New Prairie won it in 2024. So you have the chance for the last two 3A state champions to play each other in the regional game. Players from both teams that are still there from those championship teams, like star players. That would be a lot of fun. And then you go, you know, start working your way down a little more south. Like I said, I've got a lot of eyeballs on Lafayette, Muncie, Evansville. Evansville area, once again, is loaded in baseball. Evansville North played a classic game with their biggest rival, Castle, in the semifinal. They won 2-1 in 8 innings. They were ranked, I think, 3rd in the final coaches poll. North went to the state finals last year kind of on a miracle run from Evansville. And this year they're really good. So that could be a team that plays for the 4A state title at Victory Field. Evansville Modern Day, number 1 in 2A. They're another team. They're going to be a heavy favorite in their sectional final tomorrow. They had 3 teams from Evansville go to the state finals last year from the area, and they could easily get 2 or 3 again this year. So there might be a lot of representation from the Evansville area in that state finals. And it honestly makes me wonder, you know, and I had this thought earlier today, just thinking about this, like, and I'll ask your opinion on it. Do you feel like, you know, of the big sports, air quote, is baseball maybe the easiest, also air quote, to get a non-Indy team to the state championship? Like, I feel like Indy area doesn't dominate the level of, like, you know, how they do with football, right? And basketball, most basketball years, right? Like, they tend to get a lot of teams there. The Indy area dominates all the country club sports, right? Golf, swimming, tennis. Like, it feels like, I mean, last year at the baseball and softball state finals, or baseball state finals, only one team from Indy area was in it, and that was in 1A. Lutheran. The other 3 games were the region versus Evansville. So, you know, I'm just curious. I think it's probably the easiest, air quote, sport for a non-Indy team to make it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just because you, especially the teams that you rattled off, you know, Andrean, Penn, Evansville Modern Day, those are like powerhouses that make that you're always seeing them deep in the postseason for specifically baseball. And even when I was in high school, Andrean was really good at baseball, and they just continued, and they, you know, usually play up a class. You know, it's not a very big school. I would, you know, somewhat compare it to like Bishop Lures around here, who's a small private school, but is always, because of the success factor, they're always playing usually up a level or maybe even 2. But I would say with baseball, I think it is because of probably pitching, you know, and when we touched on it a little bit, like, you could have an ace at one of these schools that can get you, and now how the tournament is set up. And even in past, when it was just a 1-game semi-state, that you could have your ace, you know, either get you to a regional final or win the regional now, and then, you know, move on into the next stage. And that's, I think, something that's a lot different than, you know, basketball and you know, football, where it's, you know, you need, you know, more of a team, whereas you can go with a ride of starting pitcher all the way throughout the tournament, and you just have to score maybe 1 run or 2 runs to win a game, and if your, you know, starting pitcher is on that day, then it's you're in luck, and you should be able to make it through.
Yeah, like, in theory, if you set it up correctly, you could have, and you have that stud guy, you could have him pitch the sectional final, the regional final, one of the 2 semi-state games, and then the state championship. Like, you only need 1 or 2 other pitchers, in theory, to get you one of those semi-state game wins, and you could win. I mean, Valparaiso had a kid last year. He's at Notre Dame. His name escapes me, but he was a stud, like a stud, like, was talked about being drafted, you know, in the MLB potentially, and won in the sectional game, won in the regional game. He was unbelievable in the state championship. I think he pitched the semi-state semifinal, and they had another guy who could, you know, beat Goshen. So, in the semi-state championship, which again, Goshen baseball in the semi-state championship, it just blows my mind. Like last year, it was crazy, but they were 13-13 in the semi-state championship game, which is just crazy. But yeah, no, it's probably the pitching, right? And same thing in softball too. Like if you got a stud in the circle, it's the same thing. Like you just have to find a way to win a game, maybe where you don't pitch her as many innings. Like, you know, maybe you only throw for three innings in the semi-state semifinal and hope to God you can hang on, right? And so, that's a good point. You make a good point, Bryce.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't hear that very often coming from a co-host on this show.
AH better than DC, confirmed.
You could talk to him about that. But I think it is. I mean, like you said, you only need one and maybe a strong number two, and you should be set. And that's why DC has, talked up DeKalb so much, because they have three. They have three guys that can go out there, and even similar with Homestead, they have three guys that I think have an ERA like under two, and a couple of them might even have under one. So even if one does start to get in trouble in a game, you can bring in a number two and you should be fine. Or at least mitigate the damage a little bit. So if you have a solid staff, and it's, hard these days, especially when you're going through and how they changed the pitching rules and you had to rest so many days, because they didn't have that when I played. Like if you could pitch, on a Tuesday and if you pitch, you go the whole game, you could also go on Saturday as well. Mm-hmm. I think, things have changed quite a bit. And, if you hit so many pitches, you got to take, more, there's stages to it if you don't know.
Right.
But so, and it, if you can have that solid staff, or more, just maybe more than one guy, you can find yourself, even though if you're like a Goshen, like you said, a couple years ago, you can find yourself in a semi-state, maybe not with the best record.
Yeah, I watched New Prairie baseball win a state championship in 2024. They threw two guys the entire postseason. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
They threw two guys, Joe Kenny and Tyson Greenwood. And even in the semi-state, they had Tyson start the first game and Joe close the second game, or close it. And then Joe started the first game, second game, and Tyson closed it. So, which was just masterful managing by Mark Schellinger, by the way, just like, give him all his flowers for that. That was one of the more impressive coaching performances I've ever seen in any sport. And they willed their way to a state championship with just these two guys. And, they beat Andrean on the way to it. You know what I mean? Like they beat some really good teams. Like Twin Lakes was really good that year. And they beat Indy, not Lutheran in the championship, but they beat one of those. Brebeuf Jesuit. Mm. So,
yeah.
It was a fun run.
Yeah. And that, again, it's just, you hear, especially when it get deeper into the postseason, it's most of the time, you could have an outlier that's going to make, a deep run into the postseason. But a lot of the time it feels like for baseball, it's because like I mentioned, these powerhouses, and they've built up these, pitching staffs, either if you have a long time coach who knows how to run a program, has had a winning program for a long time. They're able to, build up these teams that have a lot of pitching depth and are able to, shine in this postseason, because even like a program like Lutheran or a school like Providence down in the south part of the state has, come online here recently and feels like they're always in or sniffing around a state championship game in a lot of these sports. Here recently, even like a school like Ileana Christian, who's not very old as a school, but is a private school and is able to compete in these lower classes and move their way up in certain instances. So it feels like this time of the year, when you have these names that you're always hearing deep into the postseason, it's also no surprise as well. You mentioned,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say let's talk about some softball here.
Championships were crowned this week.
Yeah, and now we have some regional games coming up on Tuesday. So locally, we have Carroll at Homestead. Both teams have won over 20 games. Both teams have been really good. East Noble has been really good this year. as well. You know that program has been building over the years and has done a great job of remaining consistent and be having a really standout this year there at Mississinawa. This Tuesday. And also have Central Noble, Woodland, Fremont also here locally in the softball regionals. And as you put on here, Yorktown and Logansport should be absolute cinema.
Number one
and number two in class 3A for that game.
Yeah, that has been a game. So I oversee the Muncie Star Press sports reporter and within our company, and that is a game we have circled on our calendar since probably mid-April when we saw where it could be, what it could be. I guess when the draw came out in early April, early May, it was like, oh man, that could be Logansport, Yorktown. Just talk about, 26-1 versus 25-2, right? Number one versus number two. It's at the number one's park, right? Like the issue for whoever wins will be like keeping that level of, focus and going into that semi-state weekend, not taking your foot off the gas, because like by default, you're going to play someone lesser, air quote, in the semi-state semi-final. Yeah. And that is where it gets dangerous and get tricky. But man, if you're looking for a softball game, to go watch on Tuesday night, if you want to, Muncie's not that far away from Fort Wayne. I know it's a little bit of a drive, but it's not the end of the world. Yorktown will be a sight to be at on Tuesday. But to talk about the Fort Wayne part of it, East Noble, I wrote this in my notes, like they get past Mississinawa, they don't have to play Yorktown or Logansport in the semifinal of the semi-state. So they could, they will have a favorable matchup in that first game. It'll be either, I believe, Glenn or Tippecanoe Valley. So you've got a chance to potentially be in the Final Four if you're East Noble there. I think that's a legitimate, expectation almost at this point. Yeah. And then, take your chances against the number one or the number two team in the state. So, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, there's some good softball. Carroll is 26-1. That is going to be a loaded 4A North. So it always is, it feels like.
Right.
But you got number one Lake Central, who's probably going to win their regional game on Tuesday. You got number three Penn, they're going to be in for a tricky one with Elkhart, but I believe Penn they find a way, man. They just find a way, right? They have the longest regional winning streak in the state right now, 12 years or 11 years. Sorry if I jinx them. But you can just pencil in Penn to be in Lafayette Harrison for the semi-state every year. And then you've got, you're going to get one of the indie schools, right? Or Western. It'd probably be Western, they've won the 3A state title the last 2 years, I believe. They went up to 4A this year, and they're chugging along. And then you've got Carroll, probably. And so, you got four heavyweights playing in West Lafayette Harrison High School on Saturday, potentially. If chalk holds, obviously, there could be upsets. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, but there is some doozies right there. It's going to be a dogfight, that 4A North. And again, no Indy area really, unless Westfield upsets Western. So, just shows you, you can be from anywhere in the state and win, have a better chance in baseball and softball than most sports. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And shout out the Fighting Bryce Vances, man, the Cougars.
Yeah, Cougs.
The Cougs. They might win that. I don't know who's better between those two. It's a close matchup, 17-7 versus 16-6.
Yeah, I'm not 100%. I've read. A couple of things throughout the year, just seen some coverage of them, and they've, obviously had a good season making it to the regional, and they've, it feels like the program, even going back to when I was in school, so probably the last 15 years or so, they've been pretty consistently good. And they've made it to this stage, a few times now. I think even making a semi-state back when I was in school and maybe once more, so it's good to see, obviously, my alma mater making a run like this. So happy for the Cougs for sure. If baseball doesn't give you your fill for high school sports on Monday, go out on Tuesday and you should be able to find some really good softball no matter where you are in the state. So
quick shout outs as well. I want to give a couple quick shout outs to the other sports. It's a busy time of the year.
Yeah.
And the state track finals are coming up this weekend at North Central High School in Indianapolis. Plenty of Fort Wayne kids there, I'm sure, competing. The girls go Friday night. The boys go Saturday. We have a lot going on there. There's always a lot going on at the state track meet. That'll be fun. And then shout out the Carroll Chargers girls tennis team for winning their semi-state yesterday, 3-2 over Penn. So they will be going to the state tennis tournament, also at North Central High School this weekend. North Central hosting two state finals at the same time, tennis and track. So, look, I get it that those high schools are basically small colleges in the area, but yeah. That is crazy. They did it last year too. They have taken the state track out of Bloomington, which I don't like. Honestly, I prefer, like, it's awesome. You should run on a college track. Like, no disrespect, I'm sure the North Central facility is awesome, and it's in Indy, so it's centrally located. But like, yeah. I want to run at IU, man. That'd be cool. You know, yeah. I want to play softball at Purdue. I want to go, you know, the Indianapolis Indians minor league park and play, you know, for the state title at a, you know, minor league park. Like, I just think it's a missed opportunity doing the state track in at a high school. Like, it's like one of the few state finals that they play at a high school in the state. That and the boys volleyball just now because they don't know where to put it. They literally changed it every. It was at Mackey Arena first year, which was cool, but then this year they were in a random high school, like, you know, in the Indy area. So, I don't know. I just, maybe it's my old man take. Like, I don't know, you should put the state finals. I'm sure IU played a part in that, of like, we don't want it or whatever, or maybe the cost got too much to rent the facility for the week. But like,
yeah,
I don't know, man. I just kind of miss that. So,
no, I definitely agree. Or if it's like a long time facility that has had it, you know, like Laverne Gibson course down in Terre Haute for the state track or cross country final, state finals, excuse me. You know, and I've told, you know, people have asked me, you know, over, you know, covering high school sports for the 6 years that I did for KPC, like, what was, you know, some of your favorite events to cover? And obviously the state finals come first to mind. And it's always, you know, covering a couple of state finals at Gainbridge. And then for me, always right up there, probably within my top five, was covering the track state finals at IU. And I got to do it, I think three times. And it's just a cool event where there's so much going on at once that you can just sit in the stands or sit like I did in the press area, or, you know, was lucky enough to be down in the field. And there's just something going on all the time because you have all these athletes from around the state. It's not like a, you know, a sectional where, you know, the, you know, pole vault will be done, you know, within 45 minutes.
Right.
The pole vault is going on all day because, you know, or the high jump is going on all day because kids are setting these new records and going higher and higher and higher. And then when they get to like potentially a state record or something like that, the entire, you know, area around there gets, you know, starts clapping and trying to cheer on this kid that, you know, they might not know is from a random part in the state, and but he's trying to, you know, break a state record. And it's just, it's one of the coolest things, and it's always hot as hell down there, but but it's worth it because I think it's always very fun. And then the 1 year, I think it was the year after, so they were in the spring of 21, so a year after COVID. I think it is when they first moved it out of any IU and put it at, I think, Ben Davis. And then I'm not sure if it's ever been back to IU.
It came back to IU for a few years after. The Ben Davis was a COVID year, right? They moved it for COVID, and then they came back a few years. I know they've been at North Central the last two seasons. Like, this would be the second year at North Central High School. So, yeah, they did do a couple more years at IU after that.
Yeah. But I agree with you that you should – you know, put these big events at these, you know, stadiums. Yeah. And I think, is South Bend the Cub Stadium, or are they hosting?
They're hosting regionals. This week. Last year they hosted semi-state there. It just happens to be where the South Bend Cub schedule works out. Like, they alternate, you know, home away. So, in a perfect world, obviously the stadium availability has to matter in this in this thing. But baseball semi-states, I always feel like, should be at Four Winds Field. They should be at Parkview Field. Like, you should, Kokomo has a minor league park. Like, you could throw them in there. And then one of the semi-state hosts this year is at Griffith, the Steelyard in Griffith, away up here by the region. Like, why not throw them in these minor league parks? Like, Evansville has, you know, a cool little park down there that they could throw them at, or put them at UE, you know, even, yeah, right? Like, find a couple other spots. There's got to be some bigger facilities in Southern Indiana that I don't know about, right, that are, yeah, they can use. And then, you know, do the state finals at Victory Field. Like, I to me, like, it just feels like a missed opportunity. No disrespect to Oak Hill you know, Frontier and, you know, these, yeah, other little sites. But, like, I don't know. It just feels like next week, barring, you know, I'm gonna guess they're going to put the 4A baseball regionals at Four Winds Field in South Bend.
Mm-hmm.
Penn versus Valparaiso, and then, like, Goshen versus Crown Point potentially or whatever. Like, that's, mm-hmm, awesome. Like, then those, yeah, games deserve to be in a bigger stadium. So,
yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, make them feel big. I mean, because for some of these kids, this will be the farthest they go, their highest, mm-hmm, you know, accomplishment in sports. Yeah. And obviously, you know, I think here the Parkview Field does a good job having their, you know, series throughout the year where some high schools around the area will get to come and play a game. Yeah. And I think they should, you know, if they could or can, and they probably can, like you said, with the schedule, how it works it with the minor league teams playing a week on at home and then away, they should be able to, whether it is a regional or a semi-state, should find some way to host a game here. They've never done it here in Fort Wayne, which is, mm-hmm, kind of, it feels like they should be able to do. And I think it'd be a cool environment to do. So
I agree.
So I did want to just touch on this. I don't know if you saw the viral clip of Franklin Central, Rylan Hanji or Hanjay. But he ran the 110 meter hurdles. Mm-hmm. I think it was at a regional in this past week, and he'll be competing in the state finals. He ran a 13.05 in the 110 hurdles, and I think that set like a national record. And wow, it was like by the time he crossed the finish line, the other kids were coming over the last hurdle. It was just that's far.
Crazy.
It's like, you rarely ever see that. And obviously he's at a big school, Franklin Central, I believe. Yeah. And so he's competing against like indie track athletes who, mm-hmm, you know, typically, you know, track is a huge deal down around in Indianapolis, and have some, you know, like a North Central is usually, right, always really good, or like a Fishers or something like that. So, mm-hmm, it was, if you have a chance to find that clip and watch it, it was absolutely crazy.
Yeah. I'm about to watch that now. And shout out local area Westview, local-ish area Westview, Noah Bontrager, little farm kid going for state titles in the 16 and the 32. He almost won the cross-country state championship this past fall, lost by a nose at the finish line. I don't know if you remember that. It was like literally down to the wire. He almost caught the guy from behind. So he's going to Notre Dame to run in college. So he's got, this is his last big, you know, I think he became the first Indiana kid to run a sub 4 minute mile this past during the season. So watch out. He's definitely the favorite in 16, and he could win 32 as well. So
That's great. Let's shift out a little bit of high school sports. I can't believe we've talked 45 minutes for high school sports. I was not anticipating that. But
you brought on a high school sports editor. You brought on a sports guy, man. High school sports guy.
I did. So it should come as no surprise. And I knew that you could, you know, carry your weight in that part of the show. So
I was not blessed with many gifts, but one of them was the gift of gab. So I will talk your ear off.
That's good. Let's talk about the Cubs. You and I are
45 more minutes.
You and I are both Cub fans, and now that DC is not on the show today, we can talk some more baseball. Even though I don't know why DC doesn't, it's probably because his Mariners, even though they're in first place in the West right now, they're just barely above 500.
He's got enough one with the Flamingos, man. Give him a break.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so the Cubs win last night in St. Louis. It was on Fox. Eric Collins and John Smoltz on the call. And Eric Collins, if you've never seen anything of Eric Collins before, you should go search it out. There's a bunch of compilation clips on YouTube, or even if it comes across your feed on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, he brings the energy for sure. And even last night's game, He brought the energy, I think, a little too much, because there were some fly balls that would get out to the warning track, and he was like, deep to right field, and it's caught the warning track. And it's like, dude, you can't do that. Like, you're getting too hyped up. And I think by the end of the game, he toned it down a little bit.
Right. I think he has some Gus Johnson to him in the sense of, like, the clips are awesome. When you watch the compilation clips that are the best of, they're awesome. Like, Gus Johnson's best calls are great. Same thing with this Eric Collins guy. But then even when you sit there and listen to nine innings of him, it's like, okay, like, this is a little too much. Like, his call of the PCA home run last night was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was like, overrated this or whatever. Like, that's what stars do. And I'm like, okay, like, that's cool. Like, that was good. But yeah, when you listen to it for a full game, you're like, I need a disclaimer beforehand. This is the Charlotte Hornets guy. He will have these moments where it's awesome, but it will probably not be that great the whole time. And right. So it's he's got that Gus Johnson-ish. We're like, Gus Johnson, I mean, maybe just because we've had him now in that Fox Saturday game for a long time, for like many years now, like he's still good. And I think he still can bring it in the big moments, but there are some times where it's like, Gus, it's 3rd and 6. Like, can we chill? Like, it's fine. 3rd down, 6 yards to go. Yeah, it's like, dude, chill. It's fine. It's fine. Dude, it's the second quarter.
Yeah. I was gonna say, there's 10 minutes left to go in the first quarter, man. Simmer down. It's only a 0-3.
The Ohio State Buckeyes pick up the first down. Like, dude, come on, relax. Yeah. Relax. Joe Platt just standing there being like, it was a great play.
Especially when
I don't know what John's supposed to do with himself last night. I don't know if they've done
it before. Like, I was going to say. I know. He usually works with Joe Davis, and Joe Davis, I think, is incredible. And I think he's been a really good replacement for Joe Buck. On the Fox broadcast, especially in the World Series, he's been great. But you have, like, the highs of Eric Collins, and then, like, John Smoltz is always usually, like, just even tone. Even keel, like, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. He kind of just has the same voice all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, he probably just looking over the booth like, what the hell am I working with right now?
And then tonight, for tonight's game, the Sunday night game, you get Jason Benetti. And and then they're bringing in, I think, Albert Pujols and Anthony Rizzo to be like the color guys with Benetti. So that's kind of cool. I love Benetti. I think Benetti's great. Mm-hmm. I think the White Sox were really stupid to let him go, and the Tigers should be grateful they have him. But the White Sox are playing well too. How about that, huh? They're kind of fun to watch. As a Chicagoland native originally from the greater Chicago area, I grew up Cubs, obviously, but I don't hate the White Sox. And, they're fun. Like, I didn't like them 2 weekends ago when they beat the Cubs, but, you know, I was When both teams are playing well, it's fun, man. Like, when I was 13, 14 years old, 2008, they both won the divisions that year. They were both in the contention, obviously, the whole way. And it was a lot of fun. Like, Cubs were killing it. The White Sox were killing it. Like, you know, Chicago's a baseball town, man. You know, when the Cubs are good, when the White Sox are good, like, it's fun. And I think obviously, it's May 31st. Anything could change. But it's shaping up like it'll be a fun summer for both teams.
Yeah. The White Sox did get some bad news this past week. With Morikami, he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. And he was, I believe, in the lead for home runs in the AL. He was, like, on pace with, like, Mark McGwire when he had, like, the record-setting year. He's, like, he was on that pace. But he's going to have to miss some time here. So, unfortunately, he's going to be out for the White Sox, and that might be a little bit of a blow to them. But, you know, with the Cubs, they've been kind of on this pendulum of highs and lows here recently, and it feels like hopefully it was pretty bad a few days ago when they and they finally broke the 10-game losing streak. And I don't know if it's ever – I don't know, because they put up a graphic last night of teams that have gone on to win 10 games throughout the year. And, you know, twice. And, like, they would go on to do, like, these great things in the postseason. I don't know if the Cubs are going to do that because they followed it up with a 10-game losing streak.
Well, hey, man, the only other team to ever do two 10-game winning streaks and a 10-game losing streak were the 2017 Dodgers, and they went to the World Series. So, now, granted, the Dodgers got that 10-game losing streak out of the way, like, early, and then they won, did all that winning. So it's a little different than when you do the two wins and then the loss and where are you at? It's
I
don't think I've ever seen a more chaotic first 2 months of a season in any of the teams I've ever cheered for in my life. Like even the Bears this past year didn't get crazy until week eight. All right. Like we were a little chill until that Bengals game in mid October. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is just it's just weird. It's a bizarre, I don't know how to feel. Like, I think they're good, but I don't know. And they haven't played well, but then I just can't remember a season like that. Literally, like they went like loss, win for the first 2.5 weeks. And you're like pulling your hair out. Like what?
Yeah.
And then they won 10 in a row. And then they lost 3 in a row. And then they won 10 more in a row. And then they've lost 16 to 19. And it was like, what are we doing? Like, this is like most Jekyll and Hyde thing I've ever seen in my life. And, but it's been, look, if they can, they've won, now they've won 3 of 4, right? And so, I don't know. I think on paper, if you had told me right now, they'd be whatever, 31-26 or whatever the record is, and 4 games out of first place going into June, like, you'll take that, obviously. Mm-hmm. Now, the NL Central is like stupid, crazy, competitive, and everyone's good, or at least respectable, it seems. Like, we weren't, they weren't, you know, the Cardinals weren't supposed to be this good so far. The Brewers are always going to be, they have the devil magic now. They have inherited the Cardinals devil magic, the Brewers. And so, but like the Reds, I figured would be scrappy, and the Pirates, you know, they're better than we thought they would be too. So, it makes for a fun, hopefully for a fun couple of months here, trying to see who's going to win this. And, you know, Tarek Skubal is available. So,
Yeah, that's what I put in the note here, in our notes here. Like, what more do the Cubs need? Because they are going to, they're going to need to do maybe do something at the deadline. You know, acquire another arm for sure. And maybe I don't know if they really need another bat right now. It's just everybody is so hot and so cold. Like everybody feels like they're very streaky.
You know what's crazy is I didn't even realize this until I looked at it today. Alex Bregman leads the team in batting average. Like, he was terrible in April and early May. Like, he somehow's up to 260. He's like leading the team. Like, this is crazy.
I think probably the most consistent guy has been Nico Hoerner. It feels like, you know, and even he's had a couple of, you know, streaky days, and it feels like PCA is on an upswing right now, especially after last night, just tearing the cover off the ball.
He rides that wave, man. He is like, he's like your heart rate thing, right? Where it goes up and down, up and down, up and down. Like, I love him. I think he's a guy where if he's on your team, you love him. And if he's not on your team, you hate him. I see a lot of tweets being like, this guy sucks. Obviously, they're chanting overrated in the crowd. So it's very funny. And, you know, he's got – I say this like – and I don't know if this is how to say it, but he's got some Caleb Williams energy to him, like where it's like he's so dynamic. He's such a great athlete. Where, like, he just needs to refine it. Like, it feels like Caleb Williams started, like, refining it a little bit last year. Like, he got better as the year went on. And in theory, next season he should, you know, be a good, more consistent quarterback. Like, PCA kind of needs to, like, get that refinement. He's getting better. His plate discipline has improved tremendously. He doesn't throw the helmet down as much anymore, or the bat as much anymore, which is good. But, he's definitely, like, that dynamic guy where, like, he's the X factor, for lack of a better term. Like, if he's playing well, he's always going to have the glove. Like, the glove, except when he drops the ball. But, like, you know, he tends to always have the glove. And, like, that catch last night to win the end of the game was – how many people make that play in baseball right now? 5, maybe, that. So, I don't know. I am ready to ride the roller coaster once again with this stupid team.
I am right there with you. I said a couple of weeks ago, just briefly here on the show, it was just like, I feel like the Cubs – are good enough to make the playoffs. I don't think they're good enough to win it all. Unless they can get, you know, and I did put a little caveat. I was like, unless they do something at the trade deadline that changes my mind, where if it's acquiring a Tarek Skubal or, you know, another arm that can help this team and this bullpen, because this, it feels like you know, I think hopefully Justin Steele comes back at some point, you know, this year, and we don't know what he's going to look like. Hopefully, you know, I don't know if he's going to look like himself. It may take till the end of the year to get there. But it feels like that they are going to the well a lot with some of these guys out of the bullpen, because they have some guys who are really good. You know, and then they have a couple of guys who are not, you know, like a Phil Maton, who is like, he has struggled. He's got, like, if he's on, his stuff looks sick,
right?
But
he hasn't been on since 2024, I think. So,
yeah.
Phil Maton's off, am I right?
No. yeah, but it just feels like this team needs some more help in the arms department, because otherwise they're just going to go, and these guys are just going to wear down by the end of the year. And then if they do it, you know, get into the postseason, that's where it could potentially hurt them, because these guys are just tired from pitching.
Can the Padres start tanking a little bit so the Cubs can get Mason Miller? That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice. Right. But hey, we got all the way almost an hour into the show. We haven't even talked about a game 7 that we had last night.
How about that?
Obviously, it has nothing to do with here locally in the state of Indiana, but I still wanted to touch on it, because it was, and we've had few of these in the NBA playoffs. A good game, you know, we had a good game that was close throughout. Had some big shots being hit, and then the Spurs were able to just, you know, do just enough down the stretch, and the Thunder just really didn't have anything outside of SGA last night. You know, their supposed number two player Chet Holmgren scores 4 points, and outside of Case and Wallace hitting some threes, it was all up to SGA last night, and it just felt like he wasn't able to, you know, do everything. Because the Spurs were just throwing everything at him, and had a lot more shooting than what the Thunder did.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I was hit and miss with this game last night. We were we have a colleague a journalist in the area. He's leaving, you know, for greener pastures. So we were out celebrating him, and I was celebrating my 5K too. Did you know about that?
Yeah.
I ran a 5K yesterday. So I missed a second and third quarters for the most part. And like, I was checking we're checking the TV at the bar. Like, we weren't like locked in on the game, but I was like, oh, I'll check in and see how this goes. But just what a moment, huh? What a moment. Like, well, how many times do we see like the young upstart team, you know, playing the champs, and they go to a seventh game and they lose by 25 or whatever, you know? Right. And it's like, ah, oh, it's a bummer. The Spurs, man, no fear.
Yeah.
And, it's what a moment. And like, you want to talk about like crowning a future face of the league. Like, if you're looking for someone to pass the baton from LeBron and Steph Curry to, like, Victor Wembanyama is going to be, it appears he's the guy. He's the guy. Now, that being said, I'm sure the Thunder will come back next year and kill everybody and win the championship again. They're going to be upset about this. And they're still a juggernaut. Like, they're going to be around for a long time too. So it's not like this is, you know, a passing of the torch moment in that regard, but, Wembanyama, I think, has a real, real chance to solidify himself as the face of the league. I joked with a friend, I'm like, over under 4.5 commercials he's in this offseason. Like, they're going to ask him about every ad, like, everything. Yeah. Like, he'll be in the State Farm commercials with Mahomes and Caitlin Clark, right? Like, that's for sure happening. So, it's great. And I think this will be this finals is weird, because it's like the Spurs are probably clearly the favorite. But the Knicks haven't lost a game in 6 weeks. Like,
right.
They're really good. And honestly, like, you know, pound for pound, like, Brunson, you know, is a star. I would take him over Stephon Castle right now. I mean, that's not saying much. Obviously, the Spurs have the height advantage and the big guy advantage. But, you know, it could be a really, really good series. I think, you know, there's a consensus that the Spurs are going to kind of steamroll through this. But the Knicks have looked really darn good, and maybe that's just East being bad, but, you know, I don't know, man. It could be a really fun, I think it'll go 6 games at least, hopeful, just because I want something to watch, you know, for a couple weeks. So I think 6 games feels right, maybe 7, it'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you were doing a 6-7 reference or not, but no. Okay, good. We don't do that on this show. We don't do that on this show.
I think it was 6-4-7 games.
But no, I agree that the Spurs are, I think they're obviously a slight favorite with all the advantages that they have, but I think that the series, and especially, you know, Madison Square Garden is going to absolutely be buzzing for game three and game four. First two games are in San Antonio starting on Wednesday, I believe. So it should be a good series. Hopefully, I'm hoping for it's a good series. I would like to see the Spurs do it, even though they've, you know, won a handful of championships in my lifetime, just because I would like to see the Knicks just keep trying and almost getting there and then not, just because of the arrogance that comes out from that city and that team, and just, you would just like to see that keep pushed down, and you would like to see Wembanyama, you know, take that crown. I think if like you said, if you're looking for a face, to, you know, be in front of everybody in the face of your league and, you know, be in all those commercials when he's not, you know, spending his time with the monks in the hills of, right. of Asia. Right. But I think, if you could have somebody be the face of the league, I think it is Wembanyama you want, just with his personality and the way that he does speak and is not afraid to let it fly. You know, so to speak, he's not super careful with his words. He'll tell you what he thinks. So, and I think that's good. I think that's if you're the league, you want something like that. So I think this will just be elevating him to another level, and hopefully we get a good product on the court, because it's a Knicks team that can get hot and has a couple of guys that are a little streaky, you know, like a Josh Hart who can have a one good game the next, and then you don't hear from him, but he's doing a whole lot of other things that, you know, don't show up in the stat sheet. But you just feel like you need a good series to, you know, elevate him to a whole nother level.
Yeah. I hope it's a fun series. I'm just hoping for entertainment and good games. And I could see San Antonio, I think, winning game one finals home, right? They have enough days in between now where there's not like a letdown spot, right? They got four days to kind of recover. If they were playing tomorrow, I might take the Knicks, but they're not. So I think that'll be fun. And hopefully we get, you know, 6 or 7 games out of it.
All right. Yeah. You and I are on the same page there. Maybe not so much, but for the reference, but we are in reference that we want a good series that will go the distance, hopefully. Just before we get out of here, I do want to mention a couple of other local things that are going on. We have Game 5 in the Western Conference Finals of the ECHL playoffs today. If you're going to go out there, Comets are down 3-1 to Kansas City. Game 5, the puck drops at 5:05 out at the Coliseum. So if you're looking for something to do today that will feature a packed crowd, I am sure. And then speaking of, you know, big crowds, it feels like that the momentum for Fort Wayne FC is growing because they had nearly 4,000 people last night out at Ruoff Mortgage Stadium. They saw a 0-0 draw between Fort Wayne FC and AV Alta FC. The Fort Wayne FC has not lost at home in League One play. The one loss that they did have was in the USL Cup between the Indy 11. Still, that match went to PK. So, Fort Wayne FC unbeaten in their last 7 matches in league play. They are 4-0-3. Have had quite a few draws here early on in the season, but I think surprisingly they've been very competitive. Even though they are a very young team, they've gotten things together, and they've probably should have won last night because AV Alta was down a man for the last 43 minutes of the match after one of their players got a second yellow card and was out in the 47th minute of the second half. So, but they are a possession team, FC is, and they've had a significant advantage last night, but they just weren't able to find the back of the net. So,
Go ahead.
What were we going to ask?
I was going to ask, like, if you kind of answered the question, I was going to ask about, like, the momentum of, you know, I've loosely been following the Fort Wayne soccer stuff from the last couple of years. You know, I'm not going to sit here and claim to be an expert on it, but I obviously have friends who work at the Journal Gazette and just see it on Twitter. And I still follow Justin Cohn. So, like, you know, he's tweeting about him all the time. And so it's interesting. I know they almost didn't get that stadium ready to go in time, which would have been a disaster, but I'm glad it's working. I tell you what, like on a micro level over here too, like there's a team in Goshen, the Goshen City FC, that they're playing on a smaller level. Like they've got a really strong base. The South Bend, Northern Indiana. We had some, like a civil war basically between a couple franchises in town, for lack of a better term. And now that's over, thank God. And so I think the South Bend like contingent is hopefully moving forward, Northern Indiana FC. So there's a lot of momentum for that sport, the sport in general in the state. And it's cool to see the Fort Wayne, you know, bringing 4,000 people into the arena. Like that's awesome. So,
yeah, DC and I have had, you know, numerous conversations about, you know, especially leading up to the opening of the stadium earlier this month. And it feels like, man, it's the first game was at the beginning of this month at the new stadium, and they've already played, I think, five matches now.
It's been 84 years.
Yeah, it's been, and it just, it feels crazy. It's gone by super fast, and this team has been very competitive in their home stadium. I mean, they, even when they haven't been at home, they've been competitive and even won a match out at Boise a couple weeks ago. So it's good to see, and that's, I think, something that we talked about. Like this team, if you can have a competitive team, you're going to get people to show up. And this organization has been competitive even when they were in the previous iterations of this organization in the previous league, in USL, the league below that the one they're in now, USL 2. They were competitive. They would win the division and then, you know, make the range of the playoffs, and then they would just, you know, fall short. And now that they're up a level and still being competitive and still being a team that is putting out a good product, it's not surprising that more and more people are wanting to show up. And I know they're going to have a grand opening on July 4th. So I would expect if this, the way that they're trending right now, and more people are being, you know, going in the doors, because I think most of the seat backs are, you know, open to everybody. I think there's still a couple of other areas in the stadium that are not finished, but they are expecting everything to be completed by that July 4th date. So
are they taking July 4th away from the Tin Caps, my friend? What?
They're trying. I don't know if they're trying to take it away, but they're trying. They're going to compete on that day.
Still, I mean, I know a couple years ago, Tin Caps were on the road. It was weird. They're at home. Wow, that is a risky, interesting, ballsy. Can we say ballsy on here? I guess we can.
That's the thought I had, you know, when the schedule came out. And we even had like a lengthy discussion on this show. Like, is this a good, you know, date? Not necessarily like you can play on that day, but to have your, you know, grand opening on that day. And when, like you said, there's going to be 10,000 people downtown Fort Wayne. Can they take, you know, or can they, you know, compete somewhat on the same level of that day, especially when it's a holiday and people are not even going to be thinking about sports or be out at the lake or whatever. It feels like it's going to be a hard day to, you know, fill up that stadium, but they're going to try.
I don't know if it's the wisest decision in the world to try to go against the minor league baseball team in town too. Like, I feel like you guys should be working together, but that's just my opinion. I know you're trying to get the same, probably this, there's probably like a pool of the same people you're trying to win over. I mean, you're going to have your diehard baseball and your diehard soccer people, but there's probably a big pool of like, where am I taking my family for entertainment? Right. Like that's the audience you're going for. And I don't know how much I love going up against, you know, the other, I mean, it's two different sports. It's not like you're also a baseball team trying to win over fans. You know, I think it's interesting. Good luck to him. I'm pulling for him, I guess. I don't know. I wouldn't mess with that. I wouldn't mess with Tin Caps on the 4th of July, man. That's an institution in Fort Wayne. Even I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously the proximity to the fireworks, you can stay in your seat and you can still see the fireworks even if right. even if you're not. And like you and I have been out there on the 4th of July yeah. and we didn't yeah. have a seat because it was jam packed. We had to right. stay in the entire game. But still, yeah, taking people on away on that day is going to be difficult. And mm-hmm. I know when they were scheduling, because we had Garrett Martz from Fort Wayne FC on. He works in the front office for mm-hmm. the club. They tried when in their schedule to not have the same dates as the tin cap. So they tried, and I think there's mm-hmm. he said there's three dates that overlap with the tin caps as far as having a match and a game going on at the same time. So it just mm-hmm. so happens that July 4th is one of those days. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting to see the crowd on yeah. on that day at both places. If it's because I think it's we'll expect it to be packed at Parkview Field because it usually is on that day, but can Fort Wayne FC even do, you know, a decent number like they did last night? Because I was not expecting to see, you know, nearly 4,000 people in the attendance figure, but mm-hmm. It's good to see that it is trending up for them.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
all right.
Yeah, that's what we call a show here on a Sunday morning, Austin Huff.
That is a show.
Yeah.
And words were spoken, laugh for exchange.
No, and you know, you've commented on the show here in this new iteration. You've uh-huh. you've been on the you know, Sideline Sports Show when it was back on the radio in the yeah. days. You were one of our guests covering Dylan Notre Dame football.
Dylan Sidden made sure to know that he was the last radio guest, by the way. He texted me. He's like, just so you know, I was the last radio guest. And I'm like, okay, good for you, man. Congrats. Yeah.
Hey, but you're the first fill-in co-host on the new iteration. So,
from, yeah. from the bottom of my heart, it's a true honor. I love talking sports, period, end of sentence. Yeah. But definitely with you, Bryce, man. I guess like we talk about the top, man. We go back 8 years now. It was a little 23-year-old kid moving to Goshen, Indiana, in July mm-hmm. of 2018, and here we are now, man. Sports editor, South Bend Tribune, overseeing other people in the state. Running the mm-hmm. whole department, it's a lot of pressure. A lot of eyeballs on you. A lot of things fall on your table, yeah. on your desk. So, but yeah, man, I love shooting the breeze with you about sports, and I'll try to end this, you know, as succinctly as possible. So, yeah, man, it's fun. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, for sure. You're just, you know, you're growing up right before our eyes. So
I couldn't have done without the great Bryce Vance as a diehard mentor of mm-hmm. mine, you know, just with me every step of the way. We've covered rain soaked state soccer championships and cross country yeah. state finals and too many basketball games. And I do miss sitting in the Westview parking lot. Mm-hmm. with the laptop in the back seat, looking over, seeing Bryce in his car, in his back seat or his front seat, typing. You were yeah. a front seat guy. I'm a back seat guy. You got to sit in the back. You can spread it out a little bit. You can put your notes. You got you sit in the middle. You got your notes on each side. You got the laptop yeah. right there. You're working. Yeah. You're grinding. 10:30 deadlines coming like, you know, just like out of nowhere. All of a sudden it's 10:23. You're like, uh-oh. Am I connected to the internet? I'm in Emma. Like, you know, there's not a, you know, there's no cell reception out there.
Right.
And it's you know, I do and don't miss some of those, you know, like we talked yeah. about that before we hopped on. Like there's a fondness looking back at those moments, and you drive home and you like self-analyze like the game, the story you wrote, like, did I do this correctly? Should I have done this instead? Or man, that was a crazy game. Like, wow. Like, or wow, that game stunk. Like, let me just think about anything else. Let me just turn on the radio or play my music, you know? Like, yeah, it's fun, man. And we're finishing up this is my eighth high school sports season in Indiana. Seventh spring, because we didn't do 2020. So, but it's fun, man. And the grind doesn't stop until Father's Day weekend in the state. So we're 3 weeks away, but I like it. So, and I like coming on here talking about it.
Yeah. Definitely going to have you back on the show. And, you know, especially when the high school sports, you know, get back going again in the fall, and we'll try to get your perspective on who's good in football around the state, or who's good in whatever sport we want to, you know, bring you on to talk about. But yeah, those, you know, you bring me back to so many the memories of covering high school sports and just being in, like you said, remote areas of Northern Indiana covering games, you know, whether it's North Judson, or, you know,
that's a top memory. That's a top Bryce fans memory too. North Judson. We were talking about it beforehand. I think state soccer is probably number one, but my God, that day in North Judson, brother, we just, you run out of things to do pretty quickly in North Judson.
We were at some random flea market or something like that. I don't even know what we were doing.
We got the Pooch Keys.
Yeah.
And then we sat in the bar for 4 hours. We didn't drink, I promise. We just had to sit there and be sober and watch whatever was on TV for 4 hours.
Yeah, I think it was probably during at least some basketball tournament, you know, either the college conference tournament or NCAA tournament at that time. But it's a lot of fond memories sitting in parking lots, typing up a story. And I don't know if you want to tell people going forward, or you want to put it in your Twitter bio that you're a backseat guy and I'm a front seat guy, but
I'm telling you, it's a life hack. Those who know, So
that's the stories that we'll get to tell, you know, our your grandkids, or I'll even tell my kids, you know, when they actually care about the stories that I tell, which will just be a short little time frame.
Just tell me Bluey, Dad, right now. Yeah. Tell me Bluey. That's the only story I care about. Get over it, whatever.
But that's what it takes to be a rising journalist. You gotta grind out a lot of years sitting in the back seat like Austin Huff, or in the front seat like Bryce Vance. That is Austin Huff. You can, you know, I don't know if how much are you writing these days?
I don't write a ton anymore. I'm just an editor now. I'm the behind the scenes guy. With all the strings and pulling them and whatever. And I write a little bit here and there. I wrote a feature a couple weeks ago about a kid from Bethel baseball overcoming brain cancer. So I dabble with the pen a little bit. Breaking news stuff I'm on. When the Mishawaka Marion basketball coach lets a fight happen in his practice and he gets fired for it. We're working. Yeah, I don't write as much as I used to, obviously, but I still dabble in it one or two, maybe a month or week or whatever. It just depends on how it's going. So,
Well, if you are interested in any of that work from Austin Huff, you can make sure to follow him at R Huff, H-O-U-G-H on Twitter. So you can follow him on Twitter or X or whatever you call it. He posts a lot of his work there, or any other of his thoughts with high school.
I share a lot of my guys' work. I share a lot of their work, or try to at least, on there as well. So I have a team of 8 reporters and one editor who helps with me. So we got a great crew, man. We got a fun crew grinding. Last three weeks in tournament, and it's fun. It's fun. So we have a good time.
Yep. Enjoy these next couple weeks of high school sports. Austin, thank you so much for coming on the show today, and hopefully we can catch up somewhere down the line, all right?
Yeah. And anytime, man. This was a lot of fun. So
this has been the Sideline Sports Show with Bryce and Austin today, and we'll see you next week, everybody.